This, I think we've all had problems with at one time or another. And I'm just going to call this tonight, is it worth the wait? Is it worth the wait? And we have to ask ourselves that all the time. And sometimes it's easier to hold on than it is others. But would you look, and Gabby, we're going to stay right here. I'm going to go to one more chapter, one more portion of scripture. But go to Luke 18:1. And I'm just going to do this first verse. You can read the rest at home. Don't read it here. The rest is a familiar portion. You'll get that. But I just want to say, this is where the Holy Spirit arrested me this afternoon to stay right here. I went on home at noon and got alone with the Lord. And I told Michelle, I said, I can't get anything done here to study. But this is where I stayed the entire afternoon. And I couldn't wait to get here to bring it. Luke 18:1, look. And then he spoke a parable to them. That means a story. The Bible said, without stories did he not speak. Jesus always spoke in parables so he could teach better. He couldn't teach any better, but the people could understand it better. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The old King James says that men should always pray and not faint. So we've got the same meaning there, but I just think that is so powerful. When do we pray? Oh, he said, you just ought to always pray. But don't you lose heart, because there is nothing more common, I don't think, to the men and women of God than to be tempted to stop short of the answer to our prayers. We just get tired, and he told us, don't lose heart. What do? We lose heart. What do? We get discouraged. But he said, just don't do that. And hopefully this will help us as we get on through this. But it's very common, so don't feel bad or embarrassed or feel like you're less than when you're tempted. You said, I've just prayed. You know, sometimes, most of the time, we will make our request to God one day, 2 days, make that request to God, and we're still praying a week later, a month later, maybe even a year later. But after that, somebody say, it's just not fun. Okay, we don't like it. Some can't even last 2 months or 3 months or 6 months. We don't like it. So we may pray like that. We don't get a definite answer. We just give up. We just say, forget it. Forget it. God's not hearing me. He's not answering me. And then I've even known some people to just get absolutely mad at God. You didn't answer me, and I told you if you did this, I'd do that, and I'd do this if you did that. But can I remind you, it's not let's make a deal. When we're talking to God, we don't deal with him and say, if you do, I'll do. Now, in the Proverbs, if you want to read the Proverbs, oh my goodness. There are so many of those contrasts. But God is doing the dealing. He says, if you do, I'll do. If you do, I will. So you know, that's a different story. But still, I'm just giving this to you tonight to watch out for saying, forget it. I'm done getting angry at God. You lose hope. And here's what faint means. Faint, he said, do not faint. Don't lose hope. Means to be discouraged. Disheartened, and to, I'll just say this, I don't know if unfaith is a word, but when we have faith, that's hope, that's strength, that's believing that what you believe for is as good as what you see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, you hope for it, but that substance, that, so what you're hoping for, that's the substance. That's the thing that we're talking about. But that substance doesn't really add to anything, but it's evidence of something that you cannot see. So you let go, but later you wonder, well, I wonder if I let go too soon. You probably did let go too soon. And then you wonder, I wonder what would happen if I would have held on. So let us go farther into this. But it would be like, to me, getting started on doing something and then you don't finish the job. There's nothing, well, there's a lot of things that irritate me more, I guess, but I always drive my car through that Mr. Car Wash. You know, it's a cheap deal. You pay so much a month and then you go as many times as you need to. So I drive through and they've got all the soap, all the rinse, and you know, it's nice and dark and cool and all this colored soap, and you get all through and they've rinsed it, and then those big blowers come over and the big roller comes and dries your car off. You drive through the big blowers that dry it and you get through and it's still wet. And the back window's just as wet as it was before you went through. I mean, when the guy sprays it. And so, and your little side windows are all wet, and your bumpers, you know, you got chrome bumpers, they're all wet. So what do? I have to pull over there and dry it off. I just can't stand doing that. You say, well, I dry mine on the highway. Well, that's what men do. But I stop, excuse me, guys, I just pull over there. I like at least dry off the back window, the front, and the side mirrors. But it's like giving up. Now, Brother Art, Brother Lawrence and Patty, they're all fishermen, fisherwomen. Russell, I don't know, a lot of fishermen in the house. But I'm going to tell you guys, I'm sure, especially those of you that may have a boat, or you go out there, you don't just go out there for 30 minutes, and if that fish don't bite, you dumb fish, I'm giving up on you. I'm not staying here in this hot sun all day. What do? You stay there all day, or most of it, and you wait for the fish to bite. What if you gave up too soon? You'd go home with nothing. Some of you do anyway. But you wait long enough, and you move around. You go to another fishing hole. Well, if you're not catching something in your prayers, change your prayers. But keep on praying. Jesus said men ought to always pray. Now, I'm not picking on you guys tonight, but let me say one more little scenario. If you men have ever watched a football game, and I believe you probably have, do you ever stop about in the middle of it and say, I quit, my team's not going to win? Maybe you do, but I can tell you, those Rams, when they're out there playing, they're not going to walk off and say, those guys already have 12 and we got zero. We may never catch up. They're not going to quit. They're not going to say, we may not win. They're going to finish that thing out. Man, I told Sarah the other day, I said, I don't want to be like this, but I said, I've been watching football with Parker and with David, and it's like, she says, well, come, Mom, can I see over here a minute? I say, no, honey, wait a minute. And I just don't go, and I'm all wrapped up in this. And I said, I can't go until it's over. And now I can't walk out on it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, I just don't walk out in the middle of it. But if we think that our prayers are lost, and they will get lost, if we don't quit those other things, why do we quit praying too soon? Just keep on. I'm just telling you tonight, keep on praying. You just have to do what Jesus said, and it's a lifestyle with us. It's just a lifestyle. Because if church, you know how we as Christians, we can develop really good habits, but sometimes we develop real bad habits. And I'll tell you what, if you continue to pray, and I won't say continue because pray, maybe you don't do that. But if we ever get in the habit of praying a day, a week, a month, and then get disgusted and faint and quit, guess what's going to happen? You've developed a bad habit. And then the next time you pray, you may pray that same way again. And say, you know what, it didn't work before. Well, what makes you think it won't work this time? I'll tell you why you think that. Because you were battling with the devil. And remember this, not only when we pray are we talking to God. I mean, we have audience with him, and not only are we praying to him, but we're having conflict with the devil, with Satan himself. So we've got this big war zone, this big battlefield, and you've got Satan over here, you've got God in your heart, you've got the Holy Spirit, saying, come on. And let me tell you this, you don't ever pray by yourself. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit prays for us, and he makes utterances. And we don't even know what he's saying. But he is praying for us. And then this one was always hard for me to grasp from the time I was a young girl, to hear, to see the Bible say that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Loopy, he is an intercessor. He prays for us. So sometimes when I'm praying, I say, Jesus, are you praying with me? And then sometimes I have to switch way on over land, and I say, Jesus, you pray for me. Because I don't even know what to say now. So Jesus, will you pray for me? And it may be I'm speaking to him through my tears and just really feeling bad. But Lord, would you just take it now and pray for me? Because I don't know what else to do, because I know I'm going to hold on. And when some of us were growing up in the church, we used to have this old term that our pastors always used, every evangelist used, and then when they use it, we learned to use it, and it was pray it through. The old term was, you pray it through. That means you pray until the answer comes. Or you pray until you have peace of God's assurance that he's going to do this. Now, we can have peace. I'm going to tell you guys, I know I refer to it a lot, but when my husband and daughter died that morning, the peace of God came on me that passed my understanding. And there was some kind of a hope that came. And I thought I knew about hope, but when that hope came, it brought peace. And so if you ever are praying about something that you're really desperate about, you have no idea how you're going to get through that or how that's going to turn out. If you can ever get that hope and hold your hope in him, I promise you, church, if you'll have that hope, then you will have what you need to continue on in your prayers. You'll be able to continue, and I'll tell you, it's like this. You've got two ways of it happening. You're either going to have the answer, you're going to pray it through to the answer, or you're going to have that blessed assurance. You're going to get that peace to hold on. And then whether God works it out with that answer, I'm telling you, however he works it out, it's going to be amazing to you. It'll be amazing. So you have to keep that hope down in your heart, because our minds go like this. Okay? Your minds are like that. But get that hope right here, and pretty soon that hope will start taking care of your mind, and it'll be all right. So God never wants us to give up. But why do we feel that way? I mean, why do we feel like we want to quit praying, or we can get so tired so quickly? And after a while, I'll tell you the reason we do is because the devil doesn't want you to hold on. He knows if you continue to pray, that answer could come, and it could come much sooner than you think. And it could work things out much better than you think. So he just comes on, and what does he tell us? That's never going to happen. That's pie in the sky. It is not going to happen. You're just kicking against the pricks. It's just not going to happen. And if you listen to that over and over and over, and you start to feel hopeless, guess what's going to happen? You're going to faint. You're just going to forget about it. You get angry. You get upset. And all those things. But that's what the devil wants. Now, I'm going to show you something that I know from experience. Look over here to, well, all these things I have through experience, but so do you. Look at Genesis 32. Okay, let me give you the foundation first. Look at me a minute. So my husband and daughter had passed. I have little Sarah, 7 years old. Still have the ranch, still going up there every week, and there's a couple in the church just helping me take care of it. Staying downtown with Lainey and Doyle, my sister and brother-in-law, in their home for about a year. And we used to, Donald and Alice Cobbs own that little complex across the street on the corner where the car wash is and that little shotgun shack. And so we used that while we were on the road, and we were on the road at that time. We used that little office that you go stay in while your car's being washed. And so Lyndall and Sarah worked in there in our office in that little shotgun shack out there, still there. Well, Velma and Bob Morrow fixed that up for me. They said, what do you want to do with that? And I said, oh, if I could have a little chapel to pray in, a little prayer room. And so they put brand new plush carpet in it, cleaned it up, painted it, put track lighting, and a couple little ottomans around. And I'd go in there with bottles of water and pray. And so after months of that, I'd take Sarah to school, go in there and pray. And after a few months, Lainey said, we had been out there evangelizing for a long time already. And so we had tapes and books and CDs now. And she said, Paulette, I really need you to come in and help us now. We've got a lot to do. And then our ministry is picking up, and we need you to come out, because I'd be in there 8 hours until I went to get Sarah just praying. And didn't go to lunch with anybody, didn't do anything, just spent time with God. Didn't know that we were going to be right across the street on this corner. And so, and long story short, and then we got the church down the street after a while when we came home. After, 10 years, we got that place down the street. And we would pray over there. Then I'd take all of you that were here, we'd go in there and pray on Thursday nights. Well, so she says, but we need you to come out now. So I went to the Lord that day, and I said, Lord, you heard what Lainey said, and it's true. I said, I'm in here acting like Mary. I'm sitting at your feet while they're doing all the work. Okay, Lainey's Martha, Velma's Martha, Sarah, they're all working, and here I am. So can I go out now? You know I love being with you. It was such a real time. If I never get that close to God again, that was beautiful, but I believe that I will. I believe that I am. But I said, can I go out now? I need to go to work. And so I waited. I didn't get an answer. I didn't feel the answer. And I said, well, Lainey, I will soon. Let me hear from God. And I kept asking him. And I'm sure it was fine with him. But somehow I was so drawn to him, I would be embarrassed if I walked out on him. And I always said when I left, I'll be back tomorrow, Lord. I'll be back. And so 3 days later, I got a call from Pastor Barnett. He was the pastor down at First Assembly of God Church. He didn't know me. I didn't really know him. But my little Jamie was in the missionette program. And so when we were home, I would drive her down to missionettes. We were up on the hill, and I'd drive her down. And so he would just say hello to me now and then. I'd go to his Bible study and take Aunt Jamie to missionettes. And so one night he called me, or one afternoon, and he said, Paulette, he goes, this is Pastor Barnett. And he said, I know we don't know each other very well, but he said, I have a word for you. And I said, well, thank you, Pastor. My ears are open. Thank you. And he said, the Lord has told me to tell you that you can go out now. And he says, I don't really know what that means, but he said, I think you do. Because he said, you can go out now because you have been at the Ford Jabbok. And I said, at the what? And he said, you've been at the Ford Jabbok. And I said, well, can you spell that for me? And he spelled it, F-O-R-D-J-A-B-B-O-K. And he said, you've been there. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, the Ford Jabbok was a part of the Jordan River. And he said, it means a place of aloneness. And that's where Jacob was when his family went over and left him alone. And Jacob was fighting with his brother, and he was afraid Esau was going to kill him. So he stopped there. So let me read that to you. And so, wait, look at me a minute. He says, and let me finish his word. He said, God said to tell you that you can come out now, that you're at the Ford Jabbok. You've been in a place of aloneness. And he has enjoyed that time with you. But he said, you have stayed long enough there at the Ford until he has changed your name. And I'm going to tell you, I was not the same as I was before they passed. I just wasn't. And when you go through fires, let me tell you, when you go through fires in your life, you never come out not changed. It always changes you and makes you better. All right, can we read that real quick? Genesis 32, Genesis 32, verse 22. Now, you all need to get into this and read it, and read it in some of your helps. Laura, you would love to probably read. I've never even read this in the Sparkling Gems, but see if you can find something about it, and if you do, call me. All right, Genesis 32, 22. And he arose that night, speaking of Jacob, he arose that night and took his two wives. Men, don't get any ideas. He arose that night, took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons, and he crossed over the what? New King James says the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. That was his donkeys and everything loaded up, pack mules loaded with food and everything. And he sent them over, verse 24. And then Jacob was left alone. And a man, capital M, a man wrestled him with him until the breaking of day. All night long, he wrestled with this man. He was alone. Remember that. The fort Jabbok means a place of aloneness. Verse 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, they were in a wrestling match. He touched the socket of his hip, Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And Jacob said, no, it was actually the angel speaking here in verse 26. That man is an angel, verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he, Jacob, said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? The angel asked Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, well, tell me your name, I pray. Because Jacob wanted to be in control. So tell me your name. And he said, why is that that you ask me my name? He didn't even answer him. It says he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Can I remind you, when you get to a place like that, a place of aloneness, where there's nobody but you, and you have no idea what you're going to do, how you're going to get through it, what in the world do you do? The family's gone. My family was gone. They crossed over. Your kids are grown up. They're gone. So many things happen in our life. But you stay at that place until God changes your name. And it has caused me to be able to prevail. I could have never thought of that verse. And when I hung up, I was in tears. I said, Pastor, you have no idea. It's just as though he had a little tape recorder. You know, in those days, we had those little cassette players. It's just as though he had been recording my conversation with God and then played it back to me. And then he answered. So when you get to these kind of things, this is for Jabbok stuff. This is not the little things where you say, oh, God, give me $1,000 by next month. No, this is heavy stuff. But he says, Lord, I'm going to name this place Peniel because it means I have seen God. And when you get through a time of prayer like this, and I don't want to complicate this to make it just really big old heavy prayers, because every prayer to us is important. I don't care what you're praying about. It could be the salvation of your children, which is big, or maybe you do need that. Maybe $1,000 by Friday. Or you need that car. Or you need that. You're in need. And when you're there, man, you're at this Fort Jabbok, and it's a really small place. It's just you and God, and no one knows what's going on inside your head but you. But I'm just telling you, that's where you see him. And that's why you're here on this Wednesday night, because we understand this. But just remember, church, you don't ever pray alone. We don't ever, because Jesus is our intercessor. And this faith, this hope that I talked about that we get in our heart, that kind of faith, that faith, as Brother BJ told us, that faith is substance, it's stuff. And you can't see it. You see it at a distance, but you don't have it. It's substance. And yet you can't see yourself holding it in your hand. But he said it's that stuff. It's that stuff that's called faith, but it is evidence of the things you don't see. But it's the evidence of the things to come. You see it coming. So when we have that faith in our heart, it's just as sure as when we see it with our eyes. Have you ever prayed about something like that? You just know it. You know it. And when you learn to have that faith in your heart and that substance and that evidence of something that you don't see yet, and it says that hope deferred, the proverb says, if you have hope deferred means to put off. If your hope is, as one of the guys said, I know Jesus is coming back. And Martha said to Jesus when Lazarus was in the grave, I know you're the resurrection, and you know, one day you're going to be resurrected. But if you put hope way out there, you say, I know someday, he said, that'll make your heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. Oh my goodness. It's the best thing. In fact, in Habakkuk chapter 1, it says, in fact, if I told you what I was going to do in your day, you wouldn't even believe it. That's what it says, Habakkuk chapter 1, about verse 6. If I told you, you wouldn't even believe it. So the more we learn to live these kind of prayers, that you keep on, no matter if you saw it come, it hasn't been answered yet, you don't really have peace yet, but you keep on. How long do we pray? Until we either have the answer or we have peace about it. Because when that happens, then we move into that rest with him. And I just want to close with this. You all have a lot of promises. I have a lot of promises. This word is his promises. It's all his promises. And we all have different ones that God has brought into our hearts. And it's like you're reading and it jumps off the page and it comes into you. I just want to tell you, wait at your promise. Just wait at the promise, because that's where God's going to come back around to. Wait at the promise, because that's what God does. He will meet you there. He'll meet you at the promise. He always turns by his promise. The church, I just want to say, trust God with your life. Trust him. This life, listen, it's not going to be easy until Jesus comes. Oh, sometimes it's just so good and it's better and you so enjoyed that week and you had a great time, and then pretty soon you got something else going on. Well, don't panic. You'll make it through that, just like you made it through that one. So just keep on, but trust God with all your heart, all your mind, all of your soul, and all of our strength. Even sometimes we don't have much strength. But he said, you trust me with your strength. Because in Revelation, he says, I see that you have a little strength, so I'm going to strengthen that. Amen?